Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Fighting Shadows. Overcoming Seven Lies That Keep Men From Becoming Fully Alive is a Christian nonfiction book by Jefferson Bethke and John Tyson that addresses modern masculinity through a pastoral and biblical lens. Framed as a response to the confusion, shame, isolation, and passivity many men experience, the book argues that men are often shaped by hidden lies that distort identity and weaken spiritual vitality. Rather than treating masculinity as a culture war slogan or a fixed stereotype, it presents Jesus as the model for integrated manhood, strong yet gentle, courageous yet humble, purposeful yet emotionally honest. The book is organized around seven recurring shadows or lies, and each one is paired with a corresponding truth and practical response. Its purpose is both diagnostic and corrective to help readers recognize harmful patterns, understand their spiritual roots, and move toward a more faithful and alive expression of manhood. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book frames masculinity as a struggle against seven recurring shadows. The central organizing idea in Fighting Shadows is that many men are not merely dealing with isolated problems, but with a pattern of spiritual and cultural distortions the authors call shadows. These include despair, loneliness, shame, lust, ambition, futility, and apathy. The value of this structure is that it gives readers a clear diagnostic framework, instead of reducing male struggle to personality flaws or generic stress. The book suggests that men are often living under lies that shape how they think about themselves, their relationships, work, and calling. This makes the book more than a moral lecture. It is an interpretive guide for naming patterns that may otherwise remain vague by grouping the issues into seven distinct shadows. The authors also show that masculinity can be undermined from multiple directions at once, emotionally, sexually, socially, and vocationally. The result is a more comprehensive picture of why many men feel stalled or fragmented. Secondly, each shadow is answered with a biblical countertruth and a practical way forward. A distinctive feature of the book is that it does not stop at identifying problems. Each shadow is paired with a countertruth that reorients the reader toward a healthier vision of life. Despair is answered with hope, loneliness with community, shame with vulnerability, lust with faithfulness, ambition with kingdom vision, futility with calling, and apathy with cause. This structure matters because it shows the authors are not interested in mere self-improvement. Their method is theological and formative. The lie must be confronted by truth, and truth must be embodied in practice. In other words, the book assumes that change happens when men replace false stories with habits, relationships, and commitments that reflect a different source of identity. This makes the book especially useful for readers who want an actionable framework rather than abstract encouragement. It also helps the book maintain balance, since it addresses both inner belief and outward behavior. Thirdly, Jesus is presented as the defining model of healthy masculinity. The book positions Jesus at the center of its argument about manhood, rather than borrowing from either rigid traditionalism or contemporary anti-masculine critique. Post, the authors present Jesus as the one who reveals what fully alive masculinity looks like. This includes strength without domination, authority without insecurity, and compassion without passivity. By doing so, the book resists two common distortions: the idea that masculinity must be proven through dominance, and the idea that strength itself is suspect. The Jesus-centered approach gives the book its theological grounding and keeps it from becoming a generic self-help text. It also allows the authors to argue that men do not become better by suppressing their strength, but by redirecting it toward worship, service, courage, and protection. For Christian readers, this framing is important because it ties masculinity to discipleship rather than to social performance. The goal is not image management, but conformity to Christ. Fourthly, the authors describe a world in which masculinity is widely criticized, often misunderstood, and sometimes distorted into caricature. In response, some men withdraw, becoming passive or fearful, while others overcompensate through aggression, posturing, or escapism. The book argues that both reactions are forms of being trapped in the shadows. This cultural analysis is important because it situates personal struggle within a wider social context. Men are not depicted as struggling in a vacuum. They are responding to conflicting messages about strength, sexuality, ambition, and vulnerability. By naming this pressure clearly, the book helps readers see why shame and paralysis can coexist with striving and bravado. It also explains why the authors emphasize clarity and courage. Their aim is not simply to reassure men, but to help them resist confusion without reverting to old stereotypes. That balance gives the book relevance in contemporary Christian conversations about identity. Lastly, the book emphasizes spiritual formation through community, honesty, and purpose. Beyond its conceptual framework, The book points toward a practical pattern of spiritual formation. The proposed responses to the shadows are not private techniques, but relational and vocational disciplines. Loneliness is met through community, shame through vulnerability, futility through calling, and apathy through cause. This matters because it shows the authors view male renewal as something that happens in connection with other people and in service to something larger than the self. The book is therefore concerned with formation, not only correction. Men are invited to become the kind of people who can live with honesty, carry responsibility, and contribute meaningfully to the world. That focus makes the book useful for individual readers, as well as for church groups, mentoring contexts, and men's ministries. It also explains why the book resonates with readers seeking a more integrated life. It connects inner healing, relational depth, and outward mission rather than treating them as separate goals. In conclusion, Fighting Shadows is best suited for Christian men, pastors, mentors, small group leaders, and readers interested in a biblically grounded discussion of masculinity. It will also appeal to anyone trying to understand why so many men feel isolated, shamed, distracted, or stuck between passivity and overreaction. The book offers practical value by giving readers a clear vocabulary for naming common struggles and a structured way to respond to them. Its main benefit is that it joins diagnosis and formation. It does not merely critique culture or repeat general advice, but connects spiritual truth to concrete patterns of life. Compared with many books on masculinity, it stands out for its seven shadow framework and its explicit Jesus-centered vision of manhood. That combination makes it both accessible and distinct. Readers looking for a book that is devotional, pastoral, and culturally aware at the same time will find it especially useful. It is not a broad survey of gender theory. It is a focused guide for men who want a more faithful, courageous, and integrated life. If you would like to support Jefferson Bethge, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.